While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scriptural lesson for the sermon. Two verses out of Proverbs chapter 3. Exhortation, encouragement, indeed, admonition from wisdom, of wisdom, for wisdom. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. May our Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. May this be true. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. All right, the sermon series of the Church Curious continues. And one of the curiosities of the church pertains to the tithe. Ought not to be a curiosity here, but it is a curiosity out there. Tithe. Now that is definitely a church word. You've heard of church words before. That's a word that's used in the church. People refer to the tithe. They know that that's as religious connotations, religious aroma, or religious baggage, perhaps. The tithe is a church word. Here's part of the curiosity, though. There are curiosities among the children. You know, where does that money go? They see the money, you know, some churches will actually have it put in a box in the back. Other churches will pass the plate just saying, this is part of our worship. The children will see it and they'll have questions and they'll go home. Where does that money go? You know, there's curiosities about that right here. Those aren't the types of curiosities I'm referring to with this sermon series. I'm referring more to the types of curiosities where someone who doesn't go to church or doesn't go to a church that is faithful, and you interact with them and you begin to speak about what your church service is like and some of the things that you do as a Christian, you say, I tithe. And they'll say, perhaps, what's that? And you'll explain what that is. And it's not, they may, depending on the relationship, they may not just come right out and say this, but maybe their eyes or their eyebrow or their skin tone will say, you do what? You actually give money to the church? Here's the idea. You give away some of your money? That's odd and that's incredible. And unless, of course, it's viewed as mere generosity. And so then there's this oddity or this curiosity of people applauding you for your generosity out there when they don't understand what's going on. They may think, wow, you're amazing. You know, that just flows from the goodness of your heart. It's this loose idea. So when it comes to the tithe, there's a curiosity that's present, there are criticisms present, and there's a lot of confusion that's present. So there, that was part of the curiosity of the church curious. Tithing? Okay, that's odd. By the way, jokes abound. There are jokes, and I'm resisting telling any, so I'm just not going to do that right now. Talk to me later. And there's criticism. There's criticism about the church and about the church and her relationship to money. Some of it is well-founded. The church is not perfect, and some people have actually stood back and said, a lot of it is poor. Some people will say things like this, and I've heard this over the years. People, when they're talking about the church, they may say something like this. Money, that's all the church ever talks about. No, that maybe some churches, but the church doesn't only and always talk about money. That's not all we ever talk about. Matter of fact, it made me think about the over 200 sermons that I've preached here. How many times have I preached on tithing? It's the first time. Well, but does that mean that we should be quiet about this? That we should zip the lips and just close the Bibles? No, of course not. Oftentimes when someone says that's all they ever talk about, apart from those few churches that may talk about it excessively, commonly what they're admitting is that they're uncomfortable. They may happen to hear something about the tithe or offerings during the service and they go, see, they always bring it up every week. Well, we also bring up prayer every week. We don't. Is that all we ever talk about? The Bibles are opened every week. We read from the script. All they ever talk about there is the Bible. That's usually there's a discomfort here. And that's what they mean. Some people will say, you know what, that money talk makes me uncomfortable. Well, I'll admit there have been abuses. There still are abuses. And part of these abuses is what opens the door to mockery. The church has been mocked about their mishandling of the Lord's money. It's tragic. It's shame. It's deplorable. It's sinful. Okay? But some people then take that and they say, you know what, I'm just going to paint everything, not just with a brush, a big brush or a roller. I'm just going to take the sprayer out and I'm going to spray everything with that. Some people mock things. They'll mock when there's a requirement that's outside of them. That's the first bit they'll pull out. If somebody says, oh, you tithe, why? Well, the Lord has given me this privilege. Oh, so it's not out of the goodness of your heart or your raw generosity. There's something outside of you. So people will start mocking that. What do you mean there's something above you? I thought it was completely up to me. I thought it was up to me. So people will then mock. Other times people will mock the tithe and this subject, and they'll say, don't even go there, don't touch that, because they want you to turn the lights off. They don't want the spotlight on them. So it's not uncommon that people will have problems with the tithe, not here, but in places. They'll say, I just don't want you to shine that light on me here now ever at all. Don't go there. Over the years, I've heard frightful stories of the way that churches have mishandled the Lord's money. And sometimes when I hear these stories, the only response that I can... one of the first responses that pop out is phrased something like this: oh my, you've got to be kidding. It's just ridiculous, the things that have been done. We'll not go there. There is a discomfort with many with the subject of the tithe and money, and sometimes people will let their opinions be known that this is a hot-button topic. Don't touch it. Don't you go there. Some churches want to keep the peace, and they don't want to touch that. They don't want to touch human sexuality issues. They don't want to touch gossip. You know what? You can preach about those sins that we have not been doing. Go for it. Yeah, we can sit back, and we can give bobbleheads to the first 15,000 people that show up because we agree with it. That's great. But, touch some of the hot-button issues of sexual immorality and porneia of our day. And people, gossip. And often we'll just say, you know what, turn that light off or aim that light. I know somebody who gossips a lot. Let me tell you about him. There's curiosity, there's criticism, and there's also confusion. There's confusion in the evangelical church about the tithe, and I'd like to share with you a number of reasons why. One of them, and perhaps the first, is because many in the evangelical church do not view the scriptures as one, as a whole. They don't view the scriptures, the revelation of the Lord, to be a whole. They'll say, oh yeah, that was then, but this is now. And then if you do a scratch and sniff on that phrase, that was then, this is now, they'll be saying things like this: oh yeah, the tithe was then, but this is now. That was the way it was then, but this is now. And so what they don't realize is they've got this wedge that they've used a sledgehammer on the cutting block. You're getting ready to slice some wood. They put this wedge into the wood to split the wood, and they're splitting the Old and New Testaments, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That was then, this is now. Don't talk to me about money. They won't see it in the scriptures of the New Covenant because they don't view it as something that was already established and is still in place. Or it may smell like this. People may say about the tithe that, well, you know what, that was external. That was rigid. That was, back then in our infancy, in our immaturity, we needed to have a small percentage like that to kind of guide us by the hand. But now we have the maturity to handle it. As we are of the Spirit. We are more free and we are spontaneous. And by the way, this also reflects another problem today, and that is the allergy to commandments. Don't give me any requirements. Just as we live in a world that is saying, keep your laws off my body, some people in the body of Christ are saying, keep the requirements off my wallet. You know, a commercial can say, what's in your wallet, but don't ever talk about money in the church. It's interesting. Part of the confusion of the evangelical church is because of the spirit of the age that just flows around. The spirit of the age is partly one of autonomy, self-law. I get to determine what is good here. And by the way, just to be clear, that's a failure to understand the biblical distinction between the tithe and the offering. The Lord has established the tithe, but free will offerings are a separate matter. There's also a fundamental flaw here with the person that may say something like, as we said earlier, you give away some of your money? Because they're thinking this is my money. All right, what about the Lord and the tithe? Today is very simple, it's very introductory. And by the end of the sermon today, I'm going to tell you where I hope to go in the future. Here we are, just basic. The Lord established and expects the tithe. It is His. It is the Lord's. The tithe was established before Moses, and that's another way of saying before Sinai, before the law, as most people view that. The tithe was present before Moses, and the tithe remains, hear this, because this is cheerful, the tithe remains a privileged obligation right up to the present day here in the New Covenant. Okay? It was established before Moses. It remains a privileged obligation. It has not been overturned, rescinded, removed, or changed. Here are some simple points. I believe I have 9 here. 9 simple points about the Lord and the tithe. Here we are. The tithe is still 10%. That's what the word means in Hebrew and in Greek. The word in Hebrew, word in Greek, means that the tithe means 10%. There it is. Next point. It was then and now. I'm not saying that was then, this is now. I'm saying then, it was, and it remains a blessed privilege. It was and remains a blessed privilege. Privilege. Third, it is a portion. Let's admit that. It's a portion, 10%, which constantly declares this. It all belongs to the Lord. It is a portion which declares it all belongs to the Lord. Fourth, it was and remains a proper response to the Lord, the one from whom all blessings flow, and from whom we have received every good and perfect gift. The tithe was and remains a proper response to the Lord. Next. Oh, and by the way, before I go on from there, as we unpack this in the weeks to come, because I want you to see how the Scriptures speak of this, you will encounter language like first fruits, the first bushel of peaches off the tree, the first bundle of barley from the field, the first fruits, the first produce, the first of the increase. There's a connection and a compatibility with the tithe and the first fruits. Okay? So when the Lord provides a harvest, barley, peaches, cheese that has been processed and sold, There's a first fruits. What is the response? It is a proper response to the Lord who gave the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, to respond appropriately according to the tithe. By the way, young men, if you have the ability to trim hedges, you go to your neighbor's house and you are 14 years of age or 15 and you use the hedge trimmer and you trim somebody's hedges and they say, thank you for your work, here's $20. Well, what's your first fruit of your increase? You've earned something. It applies even to you. So it's a proper response to the Lord. Next, it's a grateful response of worshipers. It's a grateful response of worshipers. We're going to see this next week, that worshipers responded to the Lord with a tithe. And so there's no embarrassment at all in talking about what the Scriptures talk about. Abraham received bread and wine from Melchizedek. Bread and wine, that's interesting. A righteous king, priest of peace, a king of peace, Melchizedek, king of Salem, gives Abraham bread and wine, and Abraham responds with a tithe. It's a proper worshipful response. By the way, you can see how this falls on odd ears when people are saying, I don't really care about worship, really. I just kind of came to get my batteries recharged, and that's odd. Next, the tithe was and remains, hear this out, an expression of the Lord's holy equity. The Lord's holy equity. 10% is the flat rate. And it is the same for everyone who receives increase. There are not differing tithe brackets as there are different tax brackets. It's an expression of the Lord's holy equity. Next, the tithe was and remains an expression of the Lord's wisdom. The Lord's wisdom. The tithe readily applies, immediately applies in the country and in the city for the farmer as well as for the traders on Wall Street. Okay, so some people have been all bundled up over, well, it seems like this is an agrarian thing here. You know, they've got these flocks and the crops have come in, so I only have to tithe off that. No, it doesn't work that way at all. The Lord's wisdom is seen in that the tithe applies to farmers as well as traders on Wall Street, for those who work on commission in sales, as well as for those who are paid once a month, or perhaps school teachers who have decided to receive pay, you know, once a month, or maybe they'll just only be paid during a larger paycheck, not being paid during the summer months. There's wisdom in this. The tithe was and remains, next here, a manifestation of the Lord's kindness. Of the Lord's kindness. And see, people don't, the tithe as if it's dark and gloomy. No, the tithe is an expression, a manifestation of the Lord's kindness to us. And I'd like to explain this to you. That the tithe is an area where we may know that we have obeyed, that we have been faithful. Is it possible for someone to begrudgingly tithe? Yeah, it's possible. God loves a cheerful giver with free will offerings as well as with the tithe. And it is possible for people to sin with their attitudes, but to fulfill what the Lord has asked, this is His, this is my, He says, this is mine. When we do that, we've been faithful. We've been obedient. And I think every Christian that I have met likes to know that they have actually obeyed. Too many Christians in the Reformed world believe in only total depravity, that's all I am is a sinner. Everything that I do is just nasty and vile and filthy. And I'm nothing but a schmeagel. No. There is such a thing as righteousness in the Christian community, and this is one simple, basic area This is the beginning obedience. By the way, this is not some high level, I have finally achieved Christian obedience and holiness in this area. This is an area where, in the Lord's kindness, we may know that obedience is present. Yep, I've obeyed there. I've done that. Last, the tithe was, this is important to hear today, the tithe was and remains a rebuke to Gnosticism. Gnosticism. Gnostic spirituality is still the rage today, where people are thinking, you know what? You know, what matters is not matter. What matters is my spirit. What matters is my attitude. What matters is the stuff you can't touch. And therefore, we have these people thinking that there are two kingdoms. The bread and the wine really don't matter. What matters is the attitude of my heart before the Lord. And am I right with the Lord? It doesn't matter about me and you. So they've got this kingdom division that's going on between the spiritual, the stuff you can't touch, you can't put in a jar and put a lid on, and my interactions with you. Well, the tithe is concrete, it's material, it matters, and it is matter, and it's a rebuke to Gnosticism. And so people go, you know what, if I merely love my wife in my heart and in my mind, I'm thinking loving thoughts, but I never actively love her, you should be able to go, what's going on with you? I've got an issue here. There's no such thing as tithing in the heart or tithing in the mind. No such thing. So it's a rebuke to Gnosticism. Okay, there it is. That's a few points about the Lord and the tithe. I would like to share a few things very quickly, just to shoot these out. What the tithe is not. Okay, what the tithe is not. The tithe is not a tax. Tithe is not a tax. Okay, even in the Old Covenant, there was a distinction between the tax and the tithe. Very clear. The tithe is not a tax. Next, the tithe is not a penalty. Some people think, that's, or an admission fee. Okay, it's not an entrance fee. Okay, it's not a cover charge. It's not a toll. It's not restricted to the Old Covenant. It's not something that started with Moses, and it is not yours. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. Faithfulness in and with the tithe. Four simple points here. And remember, all I'm doing here is presenting the basics of this whole curious concept of the tithe, trying to think about it in a refreshingly biblical way. Faithfulness with the tithe, faithfulness in the tithe, is a matter of faithfulness, not funds. It's a matter of faithfulness, not funds. Let me explain. The man or the woman who faithfully tithes is a healthy Christian. It's a matter of one's own health. It's not a matter of funding the Lord, of funding the Lord, as if the Lord is going, oh, you know what, we'd be able to do a lot more if only I had a little bit more from you. From Psalm 50, hear, O my people, and I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you. The Lord has some concerns because they're, well, you'll hear. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. You've got people religiously involved, doing. They're offering their sacrifices. Well, so I'm not going to take that. Well, every beast of the forest is mine? What is it? You're coming up and going, here, Lord, here's a lamb without blemish. Hoo-hoo. The Lord's, I own all the animals. I own them all. The Lord continues, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the bighorn sheep on the next hill. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. The Lord says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world is mine and all its fullness. The Lord owns it all, so the tithe is not a matter of funding the Lord. It's a matter of faithfulness. If the Lord needed money, he would have asked for more than a token, a tribute, 10%. If the Lord needed money, he would call special sessions of the Trinitarian Congress and ask for an increase. Not a matter of funding. It's a matter of faithfulness. Next, it's a matter of worship, and it's a declaration against idolatry. It's one of the reasons why we teach our children to give early. Here, I'm going to train you as to how to give. Faithfulness in and with the tithe is a matter of worship, and it is a declaration against idolatry. In all of worship, we are taught that as the Lord gives, we respond. The Lord precedes us, the Lord initiates, the Lord starts. It all comes from Him. We receive from Him, and what do we do then? Oh, thanks, I need a bigger pocket. No, we respond thankfully. What does that response look like? Some people think, well, back to the Gnosticism. Well, I'm thankful. I'm thinking thankful thoughts. Yes, I'm done. There. Did you feel it? No. We are trained in worship that the Lord initiates and we respond. The Lord acts and we react to the Lord and what the Lord has done. And this, we're trained here, and it is to be present in our homes, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our employment, over every square inch of creation. And by the way, when this is not present, when we do not respond rightly to the Lord's provision, what's happening? Idolatry is creeping in and being set up. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you've got this idol. I will determine for myself what is proper for the Lord. Idolatry will then tend to determine, this is what's best for me, mine. So the tithe is a ready, at the timing of the Lord's provision. For some it's weekly, for some it's monthly, some it's quarterly. When it's faithful, it's a declaration against idolatry. I'm not going to allow my determination of what I falsely think is my money to determine what's right. No, the Lord, I happily do what the Lord has said. It comes from Him. Next, third, the tithe faithfully is a matter of obedience, not a favor. The tithe is a matter of obedience and not a favor. As if we're flipping a coin into the Lord's desperately empty tin cup. You know, here, there, good. How you doing? The tithe is not that at all. It's a matter of obedience, not a favor. Yeah, I helped you out. You can get yourself a cup of coffee. It's not a box we check off. Yep. It's not a favor as if it's... See, that's the idea of a favor. That's rather unexpected. I didn't know that you needed that. Let me go ahead and take care of that. No. It's not a matter. It's a matter of obedience, not a favor. This is what I do. Last on this point of faithfulness with the tithe. And by the way, all of these points I plan to be pulling in when I talk about the various passages in the weeks to come. The tithe is a matter of stewardship, not sovereignty, not my sovereignty. Okay, mentioned this before. It's going to scratch right down to the basic. Take a wire brush and get down to something. One of the problems that some have with the tithe is the idea that the money is mine. I worked hard for the money. Rather than it being entrusted to us, we are stewards. We are not ultimate sovereigns over the money. And to help you understand this, the money that we have received, everything we have received comes from the Lord. I'd like you to think in terms of life and time, not the magazines, but life and time. You have a life. It is your life, but it has been given to you. You are stewards of your lives. Time. Our Lord has marked out the boundaries of our existence. We only have so much time. Each one of us has 24 hours in a day. So in one sense, we can call this my time and my life. But in an ultimate sense, we know that it has been given to us. How do I use my time? Do I have one day out of seven? Well, all of my time belongs to the Lord. Well, then why did the Lord say one day out of seven? All of my money belongs to the Lord. But the Lord said 10% comes to me. Oh, my life. My whole life belongs to the Lord. So we can speak of my life, but not in an ultimate sense. Life is a gift from the Lord. It is our life, but it's the life given by the Lord. It is our time, but it's time that the Lord has allocated to us. I'd like you to hear this again. You're welcome to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll be reading to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Try to understand, God had promised to bring his people into a land of promise, a land of plenty, a land he called fat, a fat land. He said, I'm bringing you to a fat land. It's going to be flowing with things. And it's set up already. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to start reading, and I want you to hear this, because we tend to think that, well, you know what, by my own might and wisdom and power and strength, I acquired my wealth. No. Here's scriptures from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll begin with verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, abundance, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper and make pennies and pipes. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Eat. Give thanks to the Lord. Respond. Verse 11, beware, watch out, be careful. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Because it's easy when you're full, when you have plenty, fall asleep. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, you see, your prosperity is lifted up, your heart gets lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, the thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, what's that, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you then say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Is it my wealth? Well, yes, given by the Lord. That means I need to find out what the Lord would expect me to do with it. So how should we respond to the Lord's kindness and his provision? It's our text today. It's very simple. I'll briefly mention it to you because it's so clear. The scriptures are not afraid to say that you have possessions. They're not afraid to speak of your wealth, as long as we understand that the Lord owns it all. He owns it all, and he has entrusted it to us. We are his stewards. We are his servants. And by the way, you find the servant heart of someone that says, yes, Lord, and thank you, and I acknowledge it's all yours. Yeah, I don't have a problem. It's a blessed privilege. It's a matter of faithfulness. Well, the wisdom literature here says, honor the Lord with your possessions. How do you do that? Well, here's one way. I wonder, how can I obey? How can I honor the Lord with my possessions? Well, the Lord has at least given us one way to do that. And the Lord here dares to bring up the word first fruits, and with the first fruits of all your increase. That's previous language with regard to the tithe. The Lord has blessed me with this. Right off the top, I acknowledge that it all comes from the Lord. And how do I acknowledge what all comes from the Lord? Because right at the top it says, to the Lord. To the Lord. If I had a crown here, it says, to the Lord, then all of it's to the Lord. This is why a name is so important. What does the name represent? That's to whom it belongs. The first fruits, right off the top, unto the Lord. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. We are an amazingly blessed people. This is not a matter of funding. This is a matter of faithfulness. And that's really what it all comes down to. Lord, may I hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I long that you hear those words. So what does this look like? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. I think we have some idea. For the Lord has not left us without guidance. The tithe is part of that. The tithe is the first step of obedience. It's a Christian step. It's a Christian privileged obligation. And then the Lord dares to offer these kind of words. "So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Wow. Lord, you will take care of me? Yes. You will have food to eat, and you will have wine to make your heart glad. And it's interesting. There's this idea of bread and wine again right here, which immediately brings us back to what the Lord created first with regard to fruit with the seed in them and the grain that comes up. It's as if the beginning food is bread and wine. And then it's no wonder that Abraham meets Melchizedek, and Melchizedek brings out bread and wine, and Abraham responds with a tithe. And here the wisdom literature is going, honor the Lord with everything the Lord gives you. Yeah, call it your possession, but know where you got it. Okay, with the first fruits of all your increase. We're not saying, you know, cut yourselves off. The Lord doesn't do that. He's kind. And the Lord will provide for you with bread and wine. The Lord will do so in abundance. Here's the beginning of the tithe. So what's to come in the Lord willing, in the weeks to come? Very basically, I'd like to look at some of this in more detail. I'd like to show you how the tithe preceded Moses. And we're going to take a look at Melchizedek and Jacob. It was just this curiously, may I use the word, natural response to the Lord's provision, a worshipful response. We're also going to see how the tithe is present at times of renewal. When we look at Hezekiah, it's amazing when Hezekiah brought about renewal to the people, one of the things that was mentioned is, you know what, all of a sudden people started, the Lord's in charge of all of this. He owns me. I belong to him. Everything about me belongs to the Lord. Yep. And then we'll also take a look at Nehemiah as the times of restoration. The tithe was brought back. Yeah, there are times that people have disobeyed. Not going to do that. So we'll take a look at those things, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. May the beauty of the Lord be upon each of us. And may we know that we belong to the Lord. And may that be manifest in everything that we do. Has the Lord provided for you? How do you respond? How do you honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first of your increase? How do you do that? What does that look like? And may it, well, I offer this to you for the honor and the glory of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the Lord continue to beautify us, and may we trust him for his ongoing provision. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for the abundant provision that you have provided over the years, and that even now we see another manifestation of that as bread and wine are set before us. Enable us to partake of the table in faith and faithfulness and to respond rightly to you, for we are your children, and we long to honor you in all that we do, even as we respond. We pray this through Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen.